Shasha, the rabbi is here.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, and how are you?
I'm good.
That's good. So, another week has gone by, and we are back on the radio. Look at that.
Yes, we are. From week to week.
That's right. So, obviously, before we start on this week's Torah portion, Bar B'chukotai, obviously, we send all our prayers to our Holy Land of Israel with everything that is going on now. But as it's brought down, Enei Hashem Elokecha Bamereshit Hashanah VaDachrit Hashanah, that God is constantly watching and will be watching over Jerusalem and Israel,
yeah.
No matter what or who wants to destroy Israel, Israel will always come out on top. So we have to have faith in God and faith in the IDF, which we all do. And with that, God will watch them, protect them, and make sure that we don't even have one innocent life that is going to be lost for no reason.
Yeah.
It's interesting, this week's Torah portion is Bahar Bechukotai. It's a double portion. And we talk about that on the mountain, Mount Sinai, which next week we will talk about Shavuot, which is when we're going to be receiving the Torah on Mount Sinai. God communicates to Moses the laws of the sabbatical year, the Shemitah. Every seventh year, all work on the land should cease, and its produce becomes free for the taking for all. God promises that if the people of Israel will keep his commandments, they will enjoy material prosperity and dwell secure in their homeland. He then also goes, which we read very softly when we actually read the Torah portion, he delivers a harsh rebuke, the tochacha, warning of the exile, persecution of the evils that will befall them if we abandon him. Nevertheless, even when they're in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, nor will I ever abandon them. This is what God obviously tells the Jews, and the Parsha concludes with the rules of how to calculate the values of different types of pledges that are made to God. It's interesting, as we talked about in this week's Torah portion, God communicates to Jewish people the idyllic and extraordinary blessings that await them if they live up to their covenants with Him, with God. And this is followed by the warning that if the Jewish people fail to fulfill their role in our world as a divine ambassador, they will become the victims of punishments, curses, and frightening detail, as it talks about in that portion. Now, immediately following this section of the rebuke known as the Tochacha, the Torah begins a totally new subject, the law of Erchin, which means evaluation.
Yeah.
These laws specify how a person might donate his or her own value or the value of another human being to the Holy Temple. And the Torah specifies the exact sum one must contribute if he or she makes such a pledge. The sum is not based on individual strength or character, nor is it based on the person that is wealth. You know, he might be a Wall Street broker to a street cleaner.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a difference. It's a generic value for each gender and each age. So for example, the erech, the value of a Jewish male between the age of 20 and 60 is 50 silver shekels. Now, at that time, the currency was weighing in around, I think it was about 9,000 grams of silver.
That was a lot of money.
Yes. Now, it doesn't make a difference if he was rich or poor. That doesn't make a difference. Now, if I pledge to contribute the value of a 5-year-old boy, I need to contribute 20 silver shekels. If I pledge to contribute the value of 1-year-old boy, I need to pay the temple 5 silver shekels. Now, obviously, people shouldn't get the wrong impression. These numbers do not reflect the true value of a human being, because a person is priceless. Rather, these are symbolic numbers that Torah attaches to different genders and different ages, representing certain generic features of this gender or age group, which is talked about in many other places, which we don't have to talk about right now. Now, the order in the Torah is meticulous. So what is the connection between the tochacha, the rebuke, the stern chastisement, and the laws of evaluation, discussing the value of every single human being? What's the connection? So really, there are really two answers. There's a numerical moral one, and then there is a psychological. It's explained, the Baal HaTurim explains, one of the commentators, that the portion of valuation of Erchin contains like this: 50 shekel, 30 shekel, 20 shekel, 10, 5, 3, 15, and 10. All for different ages of gender group. Now, the total of all distinct categories come out to be 143 shekel. Now, this number exactly matches the sum of the curses in the Torah.
Hmm.
45 in this week, Torah portion, and 98 in the Torah portion of Devarim and Deuteronomy and Kitavo. So the Torah, in fact, is saying that the antidote for the rebuke is the mitzvah of charity. The 143 shekels of contribution cancel out the 143 rebuke. Now, the second explanation was given by a very holy man, the Kotzker Rebbe. One of the greatest gifts of the Jewish people was that they did not allow the humiliation and persecution they endured by mighty nations to define their inner identity. Like the fearless lions, they left Auschwitz, and the next day they went to rebuild Jerusalem.
Yeah.
People that are Holocaust survivors, they didn't allow that to affect them. They rebuilt their lives. Some of them became millionaires, very, very successful. We know of many people or culture who endure savage and suffering, and as a result, they could never rehabilitate themselves emotionally. You know, they remained upset,
yeah,
so on and so forth. And even after they're set free, it was merely an external freedom, but their inner sense of identity and liberty was like obliterated. Where did the Jewish people glean the strength to emerge from every disaster with encourage and confidence to rebuild and prosper? From the order of the sixth Torah portion. Because after the Torah enumerates the sufferings the Jews might experience from the nations around them, it goes right in to discuss the value of every single human being. No matter what happens to you, the Torah is telling us you have a value as an individual and as a part of a nation. And your value contributes to the Holy Temple to be revealing the Divine Presence Godliness in this world. So we have this incredible power. Now, many of us have experienced loss and abuse and grief in our lives. There are individuals who from a very young age have been given the message that they are worthless, and their lives mean nothing.
Yeah.
For years they struggle to regain that inner confidence to create a great life for themselves. Comes the Torah and teaches us that after you experience turbulence in your life, after you endure the tochacha, quote unquote, the rebuke, make sure that you do not allow those expressions and messages to make you doubt your value. You may have been challenged, but let the fighter in you still remain. So, the true value and dignity of a person emerges in moments of pain and despair. The real quality of people, their depth, emerge after a painful experience. You know, the Satmar Rebbe, he was around in 1979, he visited Israel. And a Hungarian Jew came and asked him for a blessing before his departure back to the U.S. The Jew expressed the fear that after this rabbi would return to America, there would be no one worthy to ask for a blessing. So the rabbi told him like this: go to any Jew that has a number tattooed on their arm and ask them for a blessing. when such a person is available to give you a blessing, you do not need me to give you a blessing. Which is a very, very powerful thing.
Yeah.
That even though we have endured issues, life troubles, when we are willing to then go and realize we are something, we have a value that no one else has, we are unique, then what happens? We are able to endure, become stronger, conquer, and overcome. I think that is a very, very important message that we can learn from this week's Torah portion. Now, I know as most people know, this week, Friday night, we have a lone IDF soldier who was a gunner in the one of the great,
yep.
I forgot who, where. He was in many, many wars. He is going to be here this Friday and Shabbat. Friday night, we have a beautiful crowd, close to 70 people that have RSVP'd for dinner plus the speaker. And Shabbat day, after service at 11:30, we're going to have a lunch, a deli lunch, and he is going to speak again as well. So if you can't come tonight, come during the day. And it will be held at the Shaar Shmaim in the social hall. So, and services we have 7 o'clock Friday evening, Shabbat morning 9:30, and Sunday 8:30, sorry, and Monday and Thursday 7:15.
Sounds good. Rabbi, I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom and great weekend.
You too, and I look forward to talk next week. We'll talk about Shavuot.
That will be great. Get ready.
Have a great weekend, Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, same to you.
Okay, bye-bye.